Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for another round of Rarely Right, but Never Wrong Sports. The very best in sports and opinion with your host, Bill Emerson. Phone lines are now open at 646-595-2677. Rarely Right, but Never Wrong Sports will begin in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Rarely Right But Never Wrong Sports. I am Bill Emerson, and I'll be joined here shortly by my co-host, Terry Mullen. Today is Monday, August 30th, and if you'd like to join us, and we have a lot to talk about today, here's how you can do it. If you'd like to email us, ebill20032003@yahoo.com, and we'll read your email right here on the air as quick as we get it. If you'd like to join us on the phone, you sure can. 646-595-2677. Again, 646-595-2677. Let me get my co-host, Barry Mullen. Barry, are you here today?
Yes, Bill. Go right ahead.
You know, you're sitting there watching the United States game. You're going to keep track of that for us, basketball-wise. What's going on there right now?
Well, Brazil has possession of the ball, and USA has a 10-point lead. With just about 8.5 minutes left, three-pointer by Brazil is good, and it's tied at 62.
Wow, 62-62. This is a big game, as we said, because we're getting in that part of the World Championships where every game really does count. Let's get to a couple of news items that are going on before we get to football. We got a lot of football to talk about today. Roger Clemens was arraigned today. He pleaded not guilty to perjury. Barry, he could get up to 30 years. This is what he could get, up to 30 years, $1.5 million fine. But they were saying earlier, if he's found guilty, he'll probably get somewhere between 15 and 21 months and a smaller fine. This tells me a couple things. Number one, Barry, is when you go before any kind of judicial body where you have to raise your right hand and say you're going to tell the truth, you better tell the truth, huh?
Well, this reminds me of, you know, he's looking at all this sentence time and fine time, you know, and he's still pleading not guilty. He's just got a ton of money, and Johnny Cochran, one of his favorite sayings was, "You're innocent until proven broke." So I think he's really going to exhaust the legal system here. But, you know, if he was to plead a guilty phase or something here, he's certainly going to spend even just a year in jail. Seems like a long time if we're talking about this 3 or 4 years ago, but it doesn't seem real that Roger Clemens is going to be in jail, but it may be that way.
And I doubt if he wants to spend the money, his retirement money. He made millions over the years, probably has a lot of that left. But you didn't want to spend it on lawyers when you get up in your 40s, that's for sure. And the bad part about this is that he didn't even have to go before Congress. He went before Congress voluntarily and then lied. Which really doesn't make any sense, does it, Barry? Your lawyers will always tell you, don't say anything you don't have to, and he sure didn't have to say one word.
Well, you learn that from all the mafia movies, Goodfellas and Casino and some of these movies that you just keep your mouth shut. That's the best practice. And some people just want to come out and just plead innocent or guilty or one way or another, and usually the best advice is try to remain quiet, but I guess it's been difficult for Clemens.
People ask me, why do I think that he went and did this voluntarily? Someone said this, that I listened to this one guy pretty hard about these kind of things, and he says, the guy still signs his name, The Rocket. He doesn't sign his autograph, Roger Clemens. He's The Rocket. He thought he was untouchable. You see this all the time, and all of a sudden they're jolted back when their fame and fortune doesn't get him by, and it's not going to get him by here. I think he's going to do time in jail. What do you think, Barry? Any time in jail for Roger Clemens?
I think so. You know, I don't – it's sure – you know, 2 years ago you thought maybe it's 50-50. You know, he's probably going to get set free. Then maybe a year ago it was looking like, you know, 66% he was going to be serving a little time. But, boy, it's up to about 90%. Looks like he's going to be spending time in jail. And, you know, it looks like it's a done deal.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think that even though he pleaded not guilty, I have a feeling he's going to do time in jail. We'll follow this story as it goes, and it's going to be a year or so before we really get probably to trial. Maybe 7 or 8 months before we get to trial. Then all of that, and then we'll go from there. But we'll keep up to date on this trial as it goes along when it finally gets started. Let's talk NFL, Barry. This is a great week because college football starts in about 72 hours. The NFL starts the week after. A couple of our teams, I like the Cowboys. They have looked terrible the whole time, huh, Barry? All preseason.
Well, that's another prima donna is the wrong word to say. You know, they're more about the regular season. Jerry Jones playing to win the NFC Eastern Division there. So, yeah, I think a lot of these teams that are really good, the Patriots, don't put a lot of emphasis on the preseason. The Indianapolis Colts have always played really poorly during the preseason. So I don't expect the Cowboys to make just a little makeup rehearsal here in the preseason, but they'll be ready to go.
Well, I don't think you're right, and I'll tell you why. They don't want to play their players the fourth game of the preseason. The fourth game of preseason is one where they play the guys that are fighting for a roster spot. Right now, today, you have to have 75 players on your roster as opposed to 53 the day the season starts. So they play those guys. That's one of the reasons they do that. They have the big roster still available in the fourth week. But Wade Phillips says today he's going to have to play his guys the fourth game, at least for maybe a quarter and a half, maybe half of the game, to get them in some kind of synchronization. We're talking both offense and defense. He doesn't want to do that, Barry.
Well, I got your question here. I'm watching this USA basketball game. I know I'm getting interrupted here, but USA is ahead by four, and they're still struggling. They're turning the ball over quite a bit. So, the NFL, you know, we talked about Roethlisberger quite a bit back a couple of months ago, and he's going before, you know, Goodell to see about getting his sentence suspended. So just pardon me. I'm getting a little bit distracted here, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, thank you, Barry. I appreciate that. By the way, the game's in the fourth quarter for those people who want to know that. Let's go back to the Cowboys again. He does not want to play his players the fourth game of the preseason.
Okay.
But now he's going to have to. And Dez Bryant says he's going to play Thursday. I thought Dez Bryant was out for at least 3 or 4 weeks of the season, but he says he's going to try to play on Thursday. A couple of things there I don't like. Let's get to some more NFL talk, Barry, if we can concentrate a little bit on the NFL now. Roger Goodell wants to change pro football. He wants an 18-game schedule up two from the present 16, and he only wants two preseason games. This as early as 2012, probably going to be a lockout next year at the NFL. Tell me why you think they should be in games and why they shouldn't, Barry.
Well, I think it's a financial move. You know, you make more money through just regular season games and just really have a whole lot dependent on them. So, the preseason games, I'm sure there's not as many people. Sunday afternoon is all about NFL football in the United States. So just a monetary move, try to make more money, you know, it's just a business decision.
Yeah, but I understand why the NFL wants to do this. As a player, I'd be totally against it. They had Ray Lewis on last night. He was talking about it. All the NFL players are. You're still playing 20 games, 16 regular season, 4 preseason. Now it'll be 18-2. But the problem is, Barry, the first preseason game, the good players would play maybe a set, maybe two. They would never go past three or four times they've had the ball in the first half. Now you look at it, now they've got to because you only have two preseason games. The starters are going to have to play probably almost all the first game and a lot of the second game. The teams aren't going to have time to see who's going to make the rosters. I don't like this move, Barry. Do you like it or you don't like it?
The college football now, the championship games, a lot of these teams are getting in 14 games. Years ago, you know, when somebody, Oklahoma, Nebraska, some of those teams went 10-0, they won the whole thing, got first place. And then they started inching it up 11-12. We thought those were too many. And now it's getting up to 14 games for the SEC teams. So I think it's just the evolution of TV and the game in general.
Well, I'm totally against it. First of all, here's what's going to happen. As I said, the starters are going to have to play right now. They don't play the first game, very few, maybe one or two series. The final game, they never play. They never play. That's why this Dallas Cowboys being forced to play their starters in the fourth game is so unheard of. And number two, Barry, is that the players aren't going to get any more money, but they're going to have to play a lot harder. Let's be honest, they're not going to get any more money, at least through the first contract, to do this. I know it's going to bring more money for the NFL because they can go renegotiate the contract and say, wow, you got every game's important. Both preseason games are important. You'll see the starters all 18 games. Players are going to get hurt. Here's what's going to happen. Whether you're in it or out of it, the last four games of the season, you won't see a starter near there. Say your team is going into the last two games or three games even has a two-game lead. You're not going to see those. You're not going to see your starters anymore, Barry. They're going to start sitting a lot towards the end of the season. And if your team is way down, the same thing is going to happen, Barry. You're not going to see. You're not going to see the starters the last couple games of the regular season. So if you go into a preseason game knowing when I buy my preseason tickets, the first game and the fourth game, there's no chance that I'm going to see a starter or a very small chance, as opposed to game 16, 17, and 18 of the NFL season. I think again the owners are just being they're just being a little too greedy here. So I don't like that. So that's where I'm at. I understand what they're doing, don't you? I understand why the NFL teams are doing this, but if I was a player or a fan, I'd be against it. We see too many players that don't even finish the season now, Barry.
Yeah, I agree. I think the injury factor is going to go up. You know, you hear about players getting hurt in practice, but as the season goes along, the practices really tend to melt down quite a bit, and it goes to more just shorts and shoulder pad work. But you're taking a chance on getting hurt out there, especially if your team is, you know, out of the playoff contention, the wild card contention, and you're coming up against a team that's really right on the edge. They're going to try to really just hurt some people out there on the field. The quarterback's really going to take a licking. So I think the injury factor should make the players, you know, think about this decision.
Yeah, I do too. The players are going to walk out on this. But I said next year, 2011, there's already going to be a walkout. So we'll see what happens. I think it's going to be one of the more interesting parts of pro football is Goodell trying to get this thing through. Barry, why don't we take a short commercial break? When we come back, Barry will have an update on the basketball game, and we'll get into some more pro football and then college football right after this message.
Are you in the mood for hot, delicious pizza tonight? Well, in Green Forest, there's only one place to go, Pizza Pro and Movie Time. They offer the best in mouth-watering pizza, great sandwiches, and healthy salads. While you're there, pick out a movie from their large selection of the newest releases. That's Pizza Pro and Movie Time, 870-438-5457. Owned and operated by Barry Mullen, coach and sponsor of the North Arkansas Fever girls basketball team.
Barry, what do we got for a special over at Pizza Pro and Movie Time tonight?
We still have the large pepperoni pizza. I'm probably going to change it here to the sausage maybe later on today or tomorrow sometime. But $11.28 after tax, and we talk about the 12 hearty slices.
And so, folks, if you go into Barry and say, listen, I heard it was going to be sausage later, he'll give you the sausage now, right?
Yes, you bet. Either one. Yeah, pepperoni or sausage, you bet.
Okay. Why don't we have a trivia question, Barry? We haven't had a trivia question. Here's today's trivia question, and they'll win a large one-topping pizza over at Pizza Pro here in Green Forest if they can answer this question. Who holds the pro football record for most interceptions in 1 year? Do you know that, Barry? Just say yes or no.
No, I sure don't know. I've got an educated guess, but it's probably wrong, but I'll talk to you after the show.
Okay, and we'll get together after the show, and I'll tell you what the answer is. Again, the trivia question, who holds the pro football record for most interceptions in one season? You know the answer. You go to Pizza Pro here in Movie Time over here in Green Forest, and you go in and you find Barry. He's the owner. He's there all the time. And if you're the first one, you can get any topping you want, one topping, large, and those are large, large pizzas. Free. And Barry, what's your phone number over there?
Area code 870-438-5457.
So, folks, give that a call. And but if you know the answer to this trivia question, go over in person, and he'll be happy to help you. I see that the Cincinnati Bengals cut Antonio Bryant. I don't know what that means for Matt Jones, but they can't be bad. But what's it mean for Cincinnati, Barry? They just signed him to a $28 million contract. They have to pay him $8 million. Now, folks, they signed him to a $28 million contract after he had hurt his knee a couple of years ago. So I don't care how you cut a player, and I don't care how big your business is. You have to hate losing $8.6 million, don't you?
Well, that you know, they got the two wide receivers, the Ocho Cinco and Terrell Owens, I guess they're just – but that's a big contract, you know, Antonio Bryant, $28 million, and just, you know, that's a lot of money. I'm sure Cincinnati, I don't know if they got that kind of money to throw around, but that's a lot of money there with nothing to show for it.
Well, I tell you, I'd be upset. I think the general manager is still Mike Brown, Jr., who is the son of Paul Brown. But I doubt if they have that kind of money. That's a lot of money to give up on a player. And like I said, this isn't like he got hurt and now they see that he can't play. He was hurt well before they signed his contract. Also, Lavernius Coles was cut yesterday, another wide receiver, 32 years old. But here's the deal with Lavernius Coles and a lot of these players. Probably not Bryant because they have to pay him. Lavernius Coles, if he played, if they signed him to an opening day contract, it was $855,000. What happens, Barry, in the NFL is if you get past him without him the first week, you could sign him his contract for $400,000. It's called a second-week contract. All these contracts, a lot of these contracts, rather, are set up by who's on the opening day roster. If he had that in his contract, this is why they did it, to save $400,000. You know, pro football, Barry, they have to watch their nickels and dimes just like everybody else. One of the great wide receivers, Barry, Vincent Jackson, has yet to sign with the Chargers. I know a lot of teams are looking for him right now, trying to make a deal. If he won't sign, I can't imagine the Chargers after last year not signing their all-pro wide receiver, but maybe they will. But the Seahawks, among several teams interested. So that's kind of an interesting one. Do you think they'll sign him here in the next day or so, Barry?
Well, you know that Phillip Rivers, who's got one of the best arms in the NFL, and they're always in contention out there for that Western crown, the Chargers, a storied franchise. Yeah, you think they got to sign him because every year, you know, the Chargers think they're going to go to the Super Bowl. He's one of their big weapons. So I'd hate to see them play without Vincent Jackson. He's one of their main receivers.
Yeah, they're one of those storied franchises that's never got past the first round for the last 10 years of the playoffs. Again, I'm showing some love there for their coach, Norv Turner, who I don't think can ever take a team past the first round, but that's just me. Oakland, a couple quick notes here. Jason Campbell of Oakland hurt his wrist. I don't think he's going to play right away. It looks like Bruce Gadkowski might take over that job for a little while. And Peyton Hillis, he's playing awfully well in Cleveland's training camp. For our local listeners, Peyton Hillis is up at the Cleveland Browns, and they like him a lot. And I hope he does well up there, don't you?
Yeah, he's a kid out of Conway High School, just right in the middle of Central Arkansas, that came out scholarship, you know, to the Razorbacks and kind of was the third wheel behind Felix Jones and Darren McFadden, but, you know, made a good showing. I think he signed with Cleveland Browns and right out to pro football, or maybe Denver, but he's been a surprise for every team he's played for.
He was traded from Denver to Cleveland after last year. So I think he'll do well up there. We'll keep an eye on him. We always like to keep an eye on the Razorback players, former Razorback players, and he seems to be doing fairly well up there. Barry, let's get to some college football here real quick. As I said, I was talking to you yesterday, Tony Barnhart, who does a great job, had five coaches on his hot seat list. We're going to go through them one by one. Will they be back? He's had no success since he came from West Virginia. This is what's unusual to me about college football, not unusual, but what's these football coaches are the darlings when they come out, like out of West Virginia, for instance, with Rich Rodriguez. Everybody wanted him that was looking for a coach. He gets up to Michigan, no success so far, and now the NCAA is after him, not only for what's happening at Michigan, but what happened at West Virginia. Will he be there next year, Barry?
Oh, USA just barely won at the very end, Bill. I'm sorry. Brazil had a chance to win it. They missed a free throw on purpose and got the rebound, had a shot underneath the basket and missed it, and USA wins by two. But just a great game. If people get a chance to watch this one again, it's just fantastic. Back to Rodriguez, you know, you think about Michigan football, Lloyd Carr and Bo Schembechler, you know, just guys that just run just the big blue up there. Then you bring in a sidewinder like Rodriguez, and I think – yeah, he's really got to win. He's going to get them to a good bowl game, you know. If he just has an 8-win season, 9-win season, I think he's out of there. They'll buy him out of his contract. So I think number one on the hot seat is Rodriguez. I think you got that right.
Yeah, and I'll tell you something. This is what happens with these programs. Bo Schembechler's there for years. Lloyd Carr takes over for him. All of a sudden, people want to get somebody new in there. It happened at Nebraska with Tom Osborne and then Frank Solich. It takes 5, 6, or 7 years to get back to where you are because it's so competitive in college football now. It's taken Nebraska all these years to get back even close to where they were, and they'll probably never get up there completely with all the national championships. But these guys make these decisions to bring in these young head coaches that have only proven themselves at one school, and that doesn't work. Second on the list, Dan Hawkins of Colorado. So far, he's 16-33 in 5 years. And they go into the Pac-10 here in 2 years, 2012. Barry, I can't imagine going into the Pac-10, you're going to keep a coach like Dan Hawkins. Do you?
No, he has to have a 10-win season. You know, they're probably looking for a fresh start, getting out of the Big 12 and going into the Pac-10. So, you know, and 10 wins in that Big 10 or that Big 12 North, not impossible, but you'd like Nebraska probably to come out on top out of the North over there. But they really got to have a big season. If not, I think they'll start with a fresh new face over there in the Pac-12.
Well, let me tell you, here's another one. Dan Hawkins was the author, I'll say, of the success. He started it all at Boise State, did well at Boise State, gets a Colorado job, gets into the Big 12, gets some athletes, but cannot win. That's how tough it is. Next is Ron Zook from Illinois. Everybody knows he went to the Rose Bowl in 2007. Since then, 5-7, 3-9. Really shook up his coaching staff after last year, including bringing over Paul Petrino, brother of Bobby Petrino here at Arkansas. Again, the Big Ten is going to be so tough again. Barry, with Iowa looks good, Wisconsin looks good, Ohio State looks good. I think he's going to be gone, but I think he'll get a job immediately as a defensive coordinator, recruiter for somebody. He can bring in the talent, and he's a good defensive coach. Go ahead, Barry.
Yeah, and you know, when he went down to Florida, you know, everybody thought Zook was just a great hire down there and had some good teams, didn't have any great teams like they expect out of Florida football. Urban Meyer's certainly came around and just taking the world by storm down there. But then they're really excited to have him at Illinois coming from Florida. But thanks, you know, like I say, you said that had the one Rose Bowl championship. But, yeah, he's another person on the hot seat, but that's, you know, they want 10 wins. Illinois is a proud college football school going back, you know, to the early 1900s.
Yeah, Illinois has been around for a long time, but I'll tell you something. Zook will get a job immediately. I'm not saying that so much about Rodriguez and Hawkins, but Zook will get a job as an assistant immediately. Next on our list, Les Miles. Unbelievable. 51-15 in the SEC, the toughest football conference in America. He goes 51-15. Won a national championship, Barry, in 2007. But he's been 8-8 in the SEC in the last two seasons. He has a $16 million buyout. I hate to say it, but I think if they have a bad year, somebody's going to pull the trigger and pay him the $16 million.
I think it's just a sore spot. He didn't coach very good in the Ole Miss game. You know, it's been showed on ESPN college football here. Seems like every 3 days they show how Les Miles may have cost LSU the game, and then had to beat Arkansas in overtime. And you know, I think he's a good coach. He's another coach that would find a position pretty quick. But LSU is just another cutthroat place. It's kind of like Alabama. You know, they love Lou Saban down there. He might as well be the governor. He's brought him a championship and a number one preseason, so they love him right now. But two down seasons, and I'm sure they'll be asking for his hat. So Miles needs a big season.
Where did Miles coach before LSU, Barry?
Well, you got me there. I know he's at a Division I school, but Oklahoma State.
Oklahoma State. Well, he won't be coaching anywhere if he gets $16 million. He'll sit out a couple years, look around, get a smaller job I would say maybe at a I'll be honest with you. I think he could go back into the big who knows what it's going to be called now. But what is the Big 12? There's going to be some jobs open in there. Oklahoma State might open up again because who knows what's going to happen over there. But with Oklahoma State, Kansas State, Colorado, he could step right back into one of those jobs if he wanted to. And that might be it. I just don't know. Here's the bad part about that is LSU could win the national championship again too, couldn't they, Barry? There's a lot of talent there.
Right. You know, a lot of SEC coaches say they want to win the SEC championship. That's their main goal, and then if they're there for the national championship, you know, that's just icing on the cake. But, LSU's always going to be talented. Their fan base is just, you know, it's kind of like Arkansas. There's really just one team down in Louisiana. All the other ones are second rate. So there's a lot of pressure there to win, but they always get talented players.
Yeah, this is what's amazing about that job. I don't think Rich Rodriguez, in any way, shape, or form, Dan Hawkins at Colorado, Illinois with Ron Zook, can win a national championship. But LSU, you never know. They get such great athletes that they might be able to, or at least have a really good team this year and keep his job for another year. Plus, $16 million is a lot to buy out. Last on our list is Dennis Erickson. He's at Arizona State. His first year there at Arizona State in 2007, 10 wins. The last two seasons, 9 wins total for two seasons. Another one on the hot seat, huh, Barry?
Yeah, and that's a little bit distant from our SEC base here, so don't know a whole lot about the Pac-10 division over there. Arizona State has had some good teams. They had the quarterback, Jake the Snake. I can't recall his last name, that was undefeated and got beat in the championship. Plummer, yes. They got beat, was undefeated and got beat the last game of the season, but so they've had some glimpses. Pac-10, if you can go undefeated out there, you got a chance to play for the championship. Erickson made his name as a coach for the Miami Hurricanes and some pro football, so it's kind of interesting to hear his name on the list.
Well, Barry, Arizona State, here's what they suffer from. Their other school, Arizona, with Mike Stoops, Bob's brother, had a great season. I'm not saying a great season, but a very, very good season last year. And anytime you have two state schools, one of them's not doing good, the other one's in big trouble. Barry, that is going to get our show. That's the end of our show for today, just about.
Okay.
Just got a few seconds here, ladies. Why don't you give that an American USA score one more time, Barry?
Yeah, USA wins by two. Brazil wins, misses a free throw on purpose, gets a rebound, shoots it, missed it. And just squeaks out a 2-point victory, 62-60, I believe.